The employee tells the boss what he thinks of him, he loses his job. And everyone has to play along in a kind of hypocrisy to maintain the status that he has already established. All of this should finally break down. It is breaking in some areas. Some nations haven't gotten to this point yet, and they're fortunate, and we hope that world change will never force them to take on the conditions with which the major nations are confronted. The world powers of today are confronted with the heaviest responsibilities and burdens ever known in the history of mankind. These are responsibilities that have resulted from centuries of bad thinking, centuries devoted to wrong objectives, centuries and thousands of years in which tyranny has been allowed to dominate human relationships. So these things have to have something done to them, and there's only one way for the average person, and that is to do it for himself. Now we can say, if you try to really make a better pattern of life, are you going to lose all your friends? Are you going to be the one they do not promote? Are you going to be the person who has to step from a prosperous position to an inferior one, maybe land on the breadline? No, because that isn't the way the intention was set up. The inside life of the individual is his own. He can do with it exactly as he pleases to do with it. If he wishes to be honorable, he can be. And fortunately, in most cases, a reasonable amount of integrity is recognized and accepted. An individual who is not bound to some elaborate program of wealth has a greater chance to be honest, because he is not afraid of losing something he never had. But if he has built up a great material structure and tries to be a reformer, he faces the loss of all that he has built up. As one man said, however, years ago, what is a man worth if he loses everything he has? Probably more than he was before, because he has had a big lesson, and that's where the rewards come. And the man is better off that when he loses what he has than when he compromises what he is. Now, we're living in a world of compromise, which is bringing with it crime, all kinds of terrorism, and everything you can think of. And it is all a great monument to a completely mistaken attitude towards life. Even today, if you start talking seriously about religion, you're going to have a very divided opinion. Most people are not at all inclined to give religion its full weight, for the reason that most religious organizations have not set suitable examples to bring confidence to their followers. Actually, the main problem is that we have to fall back upon the realization of universal law. We have to realize that in spite of everything we think, believe, and want to know, that we are in a universe in which values are not fixed by mankind, and success is not measured in terms of worldly goods. It makes no difference how much wealth a person has. If he is sick, he hurts just the same. And if he leaves this wealth behind him, he may be doing no more than bringing trouble, responsibility, and loss to his descendants. Therefore, the beginning of our reform has to be the recognition in ourselves of value, that we shall be content with reasonable economic situations, that if we have a good job, paying enough so that we live comfortably and pleasantly, and enjoy some reasonable luxuries that are within our plan, then we are really the most successful people in the world. But when we cannot stand it without a yacht, we are already failures. Because no matter what happens, the inside appetites have been abused. The individual who has the right angle will be unable to be self-satisfied unless he grows. He must find his advancements in the accomplishment of greater values in his own life. The man who really wants to grow is looking for a better insight and the man who doesn't care anything about it is looking for more worldly goods. The worldly goods, however, is another problem attached to it. The average person is not very well equipped to interpret his own future beyond the present life. We really not too sure. We have very strong convictions and beliefs, and they may be right, but the individual who has various beliefs on the individuals do not necessarily all have the correct belief. Supposing when the rich man dies that he has a little trouble because it is said that it is more difficult for him to enter heaven than to pass through the eye of a needle. This is the idea that wealth can become the greatest impairment of life after death. It is the same type of thing that we find in the ancient mythologies, where there was nearly always a weighing of the soul in the afterlife, and the reward was given to those who had lived well and not those who had had much. There is no indication that anyone has ever bought his own salvation. He may have built a cathedral and paid for it, but if his own life was not proper, he has not bought salvation. The actual problem, therefore, is how long range is human existence? Supposing we are eternal beings, and supposing that in a certain life we make a whole lot of mistakes. We chisel people, we cheat them, we corrupt our goods, we do all kinds of unfair things, gain a great profit, and leave a fortune to our descendants. What is this in terms of man's spiritual integrity? Where is he going? He is going from here to a place where money means absolutely nothing. He is going to a place where wealth does not exist. Is going to a place which, if it exists at all, is ruled over by utter integrity. Yet this is not a place where an individual is simply punished because he dies, but it can very well be a place of unfinished business, where the individual who has never met the challenge of his own individual integrity will be given further tests in that direction. And it's very possible, if we believe the Buddhist point of view, that many of those who come into the world to face all kinds of economic mysteries and miseries are simply paying old debts for what they did someday back to another. So therefore, if we want to be citizens of the larger world, if we want to be part of a great universal program of integrities, the thing to do is to start now. And if everyone had enough to be quiet and simple and appropriate, and those who had a little more shared this in order to make it possible, and everyone was more interested in growing than they were in groaning under the weight of their infirmities, we might have in the end a world in which the monetary symbol would be restored. It says on the bill that it's a dollar, and on one side of our $1 bill is the Pyramid of Giza, the symbol of one of the ancient temples of initiation. This country, in a sense, is a sort of test. This is an alchemical laboratory, and up to the present time, we have succeeded mostly in blowing it up. We have done all kinds of experiences and experiments and made ourselves sick doing it. Actually, a nation like this is a great unit of world culture, a great unit of spiritual integrities. When a nation fails, it is just as dismal as when some individual collapses morally or ethically. And yet we see a nation which could become and should become one of the greatest powers for good that ever existed, a nation which came into being in the search for liberties, for the search for religious integrities, that this country should get completely bogged down in this tremendous problem of debt seems to be a little bit unrealistic. It doesn't seem necessary that we should make a caricature out of the monetary system. It doesn't seem that we ought to take people of very little worth and give them fortunes, that the individual works only for money. that the individual who already has $1 million a year salary is going to have a bad time because they won't give him another million every year as a raise. He produces nothing particularly. The great wealth goes to the individuals who have neither great abilities nor great opportunities. It just is something that is part of a system of fantasy, part of a delusion of material exploitation. So gradually we are going to go on and on until we never have enough money to pay anybody's salaries. This is very wrong, and it doesn't seem at all necessary here. We were a nation which was established to correct the misfortunes, mistakes, and sins of the past. We were put here because it was a clean country, a clean land, incidentally occupied by just a few people, the American Indians, who were probably more honest than we are. These differences of getting away from the old nations, getting away from Europe, didn't work too well, because those who came brought Europe with them. They brought their own selfishness, their own self-centeredness, and in the first year they were here, they exiled some of their own members into the snowy wilderness to die. And they would have, perhaps, if kindly Indians hadn't picked them up. So we started in by misusing the very thoughts that we have. And now we have a great world misuse. But, of course, there is another side to this. We can see gradually that the mistakes are impossible. Day by day, in every way, we are becoming more disillusioned with the mistakes we are making. We are gradually realizing that we are destroying the very securities which we seek to maintain. That in absolute exploitation of each other, we lose the divine right to integrities and securities. And that somewhere out there, there's a power that can punish this when necessary, and will do so. That power has brought down one civilization after another for its delinquencies. And if we do not behave ourselves a little better, the least we may look forward to is the collapse of our economic system. But it is not necessary for it to collapse. It is necessary only that it be intelligently reorganized so that the purpose of it is what it was intended to be in the first place, a means by which human beings would be capable of enjoying growth and progress and information, that it would support education and health, and that all that we needed would be ours because nature produced this abundance. It is very hard to honor this in the sense of our present thinking. We are desperately concerned with all this exploitation, and it is coming to us in moral crime, it is coming to us in actual crime, in terrorism, in narcotics, and all these things. The terrorism is mercenary. The narcotics are big business. Gangs are dishonestly stealing the wealth. Everything is after wealth, and in the course of getting it, fighting war after war, in which innocent people, at least those innocent of the major delinquencies, are forced to suffer and die. So we've got to get hold of this. And we've got to get hold of it with a full realization that the profit system, as we know, will only function constructively on a very narrow margin of profit. It will not permit us to do the inconceivable and unreasonable things. It will not make it practical for us to continue to inflate values and deflate integrities. So we have this little matter to work on, that wealth is the source of most of our evils, but can be, if properly used, a medium of exchange by means of which we can bind the whole world together in one commonwealth. We can share all our goods by means of symbols, these symbols being money. We can gain from one and give to another without carrying the whole cargo with us. We can find ways to improve life We can strengthen education, we can deepen religion, all by the proper use of the resources that we have. But as long as these resources are devoted very largely to the perpetuation of intemperance and actual stupidity, it's not going to be very easy to bring a happy world into existence. So I think if we can start by just thinking about this a little bit, that when we go out to buy, that we consider for a moment the values involved, that we do not simply go out to spend money, that when things are exorbitantly priced, we just don't buy them. When we are invited to buy something that is detrimental to the common good, we don't buy it. When prices are falsely inflated, we just don't purchase the article. A very short time, intelligence in these areas will produce magnificent results. There's no doubt in the world that the entertainment world can be completely revised if the individual requires it. We can have any kind of entertainment we want by simply refusing to support the wrong kind. We can have any education that we want as long as we do not send our children to schools that are inadequate. We can have all the jobs that we want if we will employ people on reasonable bases and the profits of growth are fairly distributed among those who earn them. All these things can be done, but they must be demanded. So the big decision sometimes is this: do I want to help the world to grow, or must I buy this condominium with a view for $375,000 next week? It is standing on a sand patch that 25 years ago you could bought the land under it for about $50. All these tremendous inflations, the $50,000 and $60,000 automobiles are so scarce today that you have to leave your orders month in advance. This is all very foolish. It belongs to a kind of wealth that is headed to bankruptcy and belongs there. On the other hand, if we have what we want, then we and what we need, and are kind and pleasant about it, and use reasonable self-control, we would find that in a very short time our available funds would increase moderately, and we would be able to have the various pleasures and pleasantries which normal people are entitled to. There is no reason why happiness must depend entirely on the intake of hard liquors. There is no reason why we simply can't live without some extravagant vacation. I saw in the paper the other day a wonderful opportunity. You can get a 10% discount on a certain vacation spot, which will bring it down to $275 a day. These things are simply ridiculous. But people don't believe it. Or if they do believe it, they say nothing, and you find an individual who is behind in the payments on his furniture in one of those $275 rooms. We are losing the fact that we are living in a universe of ethics. We are living in a kind of world in which stupidity will never survive. It has to be integrity. No one is right there with a stick to tell us we can't do it. The corners of our world are not held by armed guards, nor are the streets of our cities patrolled by angels and demons. But the actual laws of ruling things are inflexible. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. And every cause has an effect that is equal to it. Extravagance has as its effect poverty. War has its effect misery. All these causes and effects are immutable. No one has ever broken one of these cycles yet, and they're not going to. The only way you can get out of these cycles is to outgrow them. And the only way of outgrowing them is to live above them. The individual who is above certain conduct reminds us of the definition of the superior man by Confucius. A superior man is one who is above an inferior act, who will not compromise under any conditions, will suffer if necessary to protect the rights of other people to live in a civilized and well-ordered existence. So we have to think of this money problem because it is the great tempter. It is the marvelous figure, the great fantasy, the magnificent illusion by which we are all tempted to destroy everything that is important. It is this illusion that is corrupting our children. It is this illusion that is bringing criticism against our system all over the world. And it is also the same illusion that allows us to criticize all the other nations. The whole problem is one that for some unknown reason, 5 billion human beings have united to make the same mistakes for no good reason. And the only ones we can find anywhere now in which there seems to be a little trace of happiness are the Aborigines, who haven't found out about it yet. But they'll go join up very shortly now. And then we will say that we have made a great step forward. We are going to be able to say we have eliminated literacy, but have not contributed anything to intelligence. We are going to find all kinds of phony advancements. We are going to talk about bathtubs and outhouses. We are going to talk about dirt floors and chimneys. But the great problem remains. This world has got to learn to live right. It has got to learn to keep the peace. It's got to learn to avoid these temptations and inducements which lead to tyranny and terror. And every one of these inducements is backed by the monetary concept. It is backed by the concept of wealth. To get it, to keep it, and to take it away from somebody else. This type of thing can never result in peace, never result in a security for people. It'll never help our children to grow up with decent characters. It won't get us out of dope or crime. All these things are linked today directly to being financially profitable to someone. And that someone is using nefarious, corrupt means to increase a fortune for himself or members of his particular tribe or group. Now, there's no use trying to go out and fight about it because you can't fight a majority successfully. But you do not have to join them. You can do what you believe to be best for you and what you can live with if you are a decent and well-intentioned person. If we believe in deity, we can ask in prayer or meditation for the courage and the strength to live right. We can work and ask and beseech the eternal power to give us the strength to be our true selves. And if we do this, this eternal power, it will be inside of ourselves. And when we call upon the best of ourselves, that will answer. But when we only call upon the inside to show us how to make a fast dollar, the answer is more dangerous than the question. It all begins by trying to orient our own concepts of what constitutes a universe. What it means to be a solar system, or what it means to be a planet with all the living things that are on it. These living things are valuable, important. We must protect them, we must value them, and we must also value people. We must do everything that we can to prevent the human being from becoming an endangered species. And he's trying that just as hard as he can at the present moment. The restoration of religions could be a great help. It could be a great means if we could get our idealistic philosophies working. Perhaps the only thing we really desperately need is common sense. The factual situation. We would see ourselves every day doing things we wouldn't want our children to do, even now. So we have to work with all this problem. But wealth, as it is now, is the great destroyer. And if there be any symbol appropriate for the demons, they would be the dollars. They are the things that are giving us the big headache. We all need them, but we are going to have a new attitude toward them. We are going to have to find ways of determining how to use them, how to make these dollars help humanity to become integrated on a higher level of personal conduct. And if enough people, if 1 out of 100 of the people here on this planet really united their efforts in a consistent pattern of refusing to be corrupted by false advertising, false propaganda, and false entertainment and education, we would find a major change immediately. The media today is feeling this. The media is being hit. People are beginning to be a little more discriminating. And that is another phase that we have to remember, that no matter what happens, evil is forever destroying itself. Evil is always going a little too far and destroying its own structure. Every good thing joins with every good thing for the improvement of all. Evils individually do not join each other. They do not work together, even in evil. They break against each other. They are in conflict. They are in constant competition with themselves. Therefore, they die. It is only cooperation that bestows eternal life and the possibility of fulfilling the realities of our existence. So it's a symbol problem. We're all interested in symbols. We're interested in meditating on them. So perhaps we should meditate on the great symbol of the dollar and find out what's wrong with it. And we're wrong with ourselves because we have allowed ourselves to take a venerating attitude towards a symbol of exchange. Meditation upon the dollar may tell us what to do with it. It may give us an insight as to how it could be used correctly. We could say to ourselves, this dollar, where could it go where it would do the greatest good to the greatest number? This could be an interesting experiment. You never really have to do it, but you can think it through and see what you would do with that dollar if you were concerned with accomplishing the greatest good for the world in which you live. What would that $1 do? Then you might even have the feeling of doing that thing. But always by the meditation upon what we have, we reveal what we are. The moment we settle down to enjoy selfishness or pass over it lightly, we are realizing weaknesses in our own natures. The greatest source of integrity that we know is inside of ourselves. The greatest source of progress for humanity actually is within ourselves, because it is in ourselves that our God dwells. Deity works through us. It comes in us and through us into the world. Every human being can become an instrument for the evolution of humanity, for the fulfillment of all good, and recognize that instead of being just lonely little people living our years the best we can, that we are the instruments of a high destiny, that we are the instruments of an immutable power. If we choose to leave the instruments dull, if we choose not even try to use them, then we have that type of attitude. But there is within each individual the power to do better than he does. There's not one human being who could not improve a little, at least, if he tried real hard. And many could improve a great deal with a very light trial. But it's always true that if somehow we're going to have to divide the sheep from the goats, we're going to have to find out in living things how to break the vicious circle of war, poverty, and crime. Policemen can't do it. All the peace organizations in the world can't do it. And all the talk and discussion in high political places won't do it either. The only thing that can secure these things is that individuals themselves make single steps individually in the direction they know these things should be properly handled. We know, for instance, that any individual who does not buy cocaine is not contributing to the drug mania. But if he buys it himself, he is part of a vast group that are producing, that is producing multimillionaires while you watch them. But you don't have to be part of this. You don't have to do anything that is wrong that does not interfere with the daily problems of life. You may not enjoy your job, but if it is an honest job and you're doing the best you can with it, or you're living on retirement and living as honestly and wisely and lovingly as you can, these things are okay. That's right. Everything's going fine. But if you have a few extra dollars come along and insist on investing them in organized crime, you will find the difficulties multiply almost immediately. Heaven doesn't want it that way. We are all here to grow. And up to the moment, money is the greatest impairment to growth that we have. And if we can cure that one, almost all the other difficulties will begin to fall apart, because they are all motivated by greed. They are all motivated by jealousy. They are by over-ambition. When these things are curbed within the individual, his health will be better. The individual who lives his principles is likely to live considerably longer. He will have fewer doctor's bills, and he'll have more friends and a closer family. We are sacrificing the values that we really know for the things that don't mean anything anyway. So I think we should very definitely try to make personal contributions. If there's something that you know inside yourself that needs correcting, it can start with something as subtle and mysterious as disposition, or attitude, or fanaticism, or hatreds of some nature, or jealousies. If you can gradually wean out the negative reactions that you have to the things that happen every day, you will begin to develop a new strength. When you can resist the temptations that tempt you, you can begin to resist the temptations with which others try to tempt you. You can become gradually a center of integrity in this curious world. And by becoming a center of integrity, you are gradually going to accomplish that which is necessary. If the American people will be true to their heritage, if they will be true to the things that they know were part of their proper destiny, if we realize that we were here to help the world to grow, and that all the arts and sciences that we have, as Lord Bacon pointed out, all these great research structures, the great laboratories, are not there to churn out pills for $10 a pill. They are there to see that individuals have what they need. All growth, all progress, all success is rewarded in terms of integrities and not in terms of cash. So we are supposed to be building a better world. We were here to take a beautiful continent and make it the glory of the ages. We were to make it not the abode of the wealthy, but the abode of the righteous. It was to be the place where the dreams of the ages come true. It can still be. Maybe that's why this problem is getting so intense. Maybe this economic problem is the one last great hurdle that we have to solve before we can achieve our destiny. Because the universal reformation of our own selfishness can make us the hope of the ages. There's no use trying to outbid the world or outproduce the world. What we should do is to stand as a symbol of something higher and better than can be found elsewhere, and in that way inspire the world to the fulfillment of its proper destiny, so that there can truly be one people, one God, and one nature. All these things can happen and begin simply with a simple process of dedicating and rededicating your personal life to values that are real. Well, that's it, folks.